Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Every year, the supreme leader of the Islamic Revolution selects the slogan to guide the nation's focus. Since 2009, a clear priority has been placed on improving the country's economic condition and ensuring the well-being of the Muslim people in Iran. In this conversation, we explore the significance of economics in Islam, the concept of economic jihad, and how the public's role is essential in fulfilling this year's nation and national vision. So welcome, dear brothers and sisters, to your program, The Viewpoint from IRIB English Radio. This is the humble host of the show, Sayyid Ali, and here I am with dear brother Rouhani. Assalamu alaikum, dear brother. Welcome to your program.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Really good to have you here. And also we do have brother Muhammad, my brother in faith. Good to have you here.
It's a pleasure.
So let's just start the conversation with brother Rouhani. So why do you think, brother Rouhani, that the economic matters have been the central theme of so many annual slogan in the perspective of the Islamic supreme leaders in these recent years?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you know, the leaders' annual slogan since 2009 focus on economic improvement. The question, of course, the most important question is this, that why such emphasis put on the economic, let's say, welfare and let's say, issues. It seems that first of all, for the supreme leader, I think, self-sufficiency, justice, and public participation in economic growth, they are, it seems to be, the main concerns for this Islamic revolution, particularly in terms of economic issues. Because without self-sufficiency, without justice, without public participation, no economic plans and programs could succeed in this country. That's why we see that the Supreme Leader every year try to focus or to attract the attentions of the people towards these economic, let's say, points. And the public participation is really vital for economic success. That's why I think the slogan success depends on the real public engagement, not just government action. Because when the people support an economic kind of program and plan, when the people contribute to the improvement and economic growth, then it really grows, it really improves. That is why these kind of slogans that are presented by the Supreme Leader every year, I think the main focus is to encourage the public, the people, to consider their economic responsibility.
Do you think it is feasible that people be encouraged by just, I don't know, an addressing sort of you know, lecture from the leader side? Or because some people would say like economy is like something generated itself from within, and there are some formulas and there are some ideas and things that has to do with economy itself, not just, you know, addressing or encouraging one types of people. What do you think?
Yes, first of all, we should understand that the people's role in production, innovation, and let's say improvement of the economic situation is crucial for overcoming economic crisis. But of course, as you rightly mentioned, there should be a kind of trust between government and citizens, which is really necessary, and it's really effective and when it comes to the economic problems and challenges. That is why it is the duty of the government as well to prepare the grounds for the people's participation, for the people's contribution. This is what systematically should be established by the government. Of course, only, as you rightly mentioned, only by the slogans, by the speeches, by the lectures, nothing can be solved. The Supreme Leader is fully, of course, aware of this. That's why he always orders and recommend and can encourage the government, the presidents, the ministers, that they should also pave the ground for the people's participation and contribution to the economic growth. I think this is a very good idea, you know, because in the developed countries, we see that the role of the people is really significant, because nowadays, the governments just in the modern world, in the most developed countries, if you look at the role of government, they just pave the ground for the people's contribution, the people take part into the growth of the economic growth. It's not the government who take the responsibility of the economic growth, rather the people.
Or private sectors.
So that is why it should be established in a kind of Islamic system based on Islamic justice. Mm-hmm. That's why for the Islamic Revolution, the system might be a bit different from what is performed in the modern world. That's why, of course, I think both the governors, the rulers, the leaders, they have their role, and also the people. And between the people and the rulers, there is the government. The government also should play their own role. That is true.
Thank you so much. Dear Brother Muhammad, how does Islam define the relationship between faith and economic well-being? Because sometimes when we or some people, when they conceptualize a true Muslim, they link it, this idea of being such a person, they link it to someone who is poor, who rides a camel, things like that. And they cannot imagine we have a wealthy person with a huge amount of, you know, wealth and being a Muslim at the same time.
Now, you see the picture that, unfortunately, that you mentioned about how people have with true Muslims, people backward, camels, horses. You see, that's a complete opposite of what a true Muslim is. That's something that Islam has completely negated and has fought against. Mm-hmm. You see, if Islam did not care about economy and the worldly affairs of the Muslims and the humanity in general, then there wouldn't have been close to 400 plus verses in the Noble Quran in regards to economy. Mm. Wherever we have Aqim al-Salah, we have Atu Zakat.
Yeah.
Pay your taxes, pay your zakat. Look after, أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Give from what you love. Now, as Sheikh Rouhani mentioned, there is a specific emphasis of in the leader's slogan on economy being people-centric, because that's how the Islamic economy is. And that's what the faith tells us. That's what Islam tells us. Mm-hmm. If economy was not a part of Islam, then Imam Ali wouldn't have done so many economic projects in his government. And Prophet wouldn't have done so many economic activities during his. This entire concept of irs and, you know, inheritance, it's all economic.
Yeah.
And there's so many economic elements in our fiqh, in our jurisprudence as well. More than half of the jurisprudence deals with mu'amilat, deals with transactions.
Yeah.
Bay', ijara, you know, doing business, doing renting, leasing, you know, ju'al. All of these are economic, abwab, as we say, gates in jurisprudence. So with the picture that we have of a good, faithful Muslim as being someone who unfortunately is on a camel and backward and does not care about economy is an inappropriate and incorrect picture. Now, the correct picture, and unfortunately many have neglected it, is a businessman who knows the rights and wrongs of business. Mm-hmm. Now, let me give you a hadith, a shocking hadith that I came across. Recently, a man came to Imam Sadiq, and I'm trying to paraphrase it because it's a long hadith.
Sure, thank you.
And he asked Imam Sadiq to teach him fiqh, basically. Well, the hadith has some other words, but I'm just going to summarize it into what's my analysis of the hadith. The Imam denied it. After a while, when he finally accepts him as a student, the Imam says, the first thing to learn is that, look, in transactions, in your mu'amilat, if you do not know the Islamic jurisprudence, then knowingly or unknowingly you will fall into riba. Mm. Riba meaning usury.
Yeah.
And then when you fall into one usury, you'll fall into the second, third, fourth. You become numb to it. Mm-hmm. Until eventually, you find no difference between usury and other business. That's why in Quran we have, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defied the Muslims from, doing riba,
yeah.
Some came and say, Al-bay'u mithlu riba. Why do we have the bay'ah? Why do we have the normal business, normal transaction, mm-hmm. but not riba? Why can't we do usury? It's the same thing as business. And then Allah answers them, says, حَلَّ الْبَيْءِ وَحَرَّمَ الْرِبَىٰ. Allah has made bay halal and made riba haram.
Yeah.
That's the big difference. Now, as to the philosophy behind it, let it be.
Yeah.
But Allah has made such a thing. So if Allah and faith and deen does not talk about economy, what is this then?
Mm-hmm.
So it, unfortunately, the neglected part of the of the faith and deen is economy. And many of the businessmen around, even the Muslims,
yeah.
and the followers of Ahl Bayt, to be very honest and to be very, it's very disappointing
mm-hmm.
that they go to the masjid, Husayniya, they go for the majlis, cry for Imam Hussein, they do ziyarat and they do hajj and everything, ask them one ahkam of, economy.
Thank
Unfortunately,
so
no knowledge of that.
Thank you so much. I do remember in our society, old generation, so many of them grandpas, they used to go to seminaries to took some intensive course on business, how to do business,
exactly.
and then they start doing business in the bazaar and market. Thank you.
Exactly.
So, dear brother Rouhani, we have this hadith, and it is being quoted and heard a lot, that poverty is close to disbelief. What does this hadith tell us about Islam's view on poverty and its societal impact?
You see that Islam's emphasis on economic justice is very much crucial and vital. Because of what? Because, as you rightly mentioned, there is a beautiful hadith in which it is said that poverty is a threat to faith.
Mm-hmm.
According to this hadith, poverty almost leads to disbelief, as you rightly mentioned. I think this hadith highlights Islam's warning against economic, neglect. That is why in both the Quran and hadith and riwayat, the economic issues, points are overemphasized as it is mentioned that in the Holy Quran we have 450 verses about the economic issues.
And may we strive for an economy that reflects the value of justice, dignity, and compassion by saying that. Till another episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
شفعة أنا لها